April is National Poetry Month, and Public Radio 90 observes the occasion by presenting readings by poets from the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. Lynn Domina is the head of the English department here at Northern Michigan University in Marquette. She received her undergraduate degree from Michigan State, her graduate MFA in poetry writing from the University of Alabama, and also her PhD from SUNY Stony Brook University.
Every bulbous cell. If I could, I would bless the elephant whose footprint spreads wider than both my hands resting in its mud cast. I would bless her trunk, looping behind her head, river water sprayed across her dusty back, her delight filling blustery exhalations. I would bless groundhogs, the mother, two juveniles scurrying to their den. I would bless their waddle, their stunted legs, their prints preserved in summer mud. Watching them chew new blades, preferring bluegrass seedlings to clover flowers or dandelions, I would bless their excitable hunger. And I would bless the blue whale, her skeleton, its string of vertebrae curving toward her spread tail. I would bless baleen, algae, blue oxygen misting from her blowholes, even the muck her flesh settles into, her buoyancy gone, this life relinquished. Oh, who am I to bless these creatures who require no blessing? And yet I do. I extend my blessing to the thick rush of muddy floodwater, the clutch of maples wavering through sludgy whorls. I bless catfish, crayfish, stunned tadpoles, exhausted earthworms. I bless each species of bacteria scuttling through my gut, all their hairy filaments, every bulbous cell. I've heard stories. My friend says everyone has a bear story, even if it's not about a bear, and that your story provides an index to your personality. At first, I thought she meant your story reveals your neuroses, the origins of those fears you wish you could conceal. My conviction, for instance, that every snake dreams itself a constrictor, longs to squeeze the breath from my lungs. Even the green tree snake, thin as twine, freshly hatched garters squirming from their nest. Even the venomous black mamba, which could kill me without constriction in seconds. But when she says personality, I realize she means personality. I've never seen a bear outside a zoo or taxidermists. I've heard stories others tell, the bear ambling across Route 28, detaining the 6:30 bus, or the one ducking behind Catskill Hall as two students dumped their garbage, roommates from the city who'd already fled wild turkeys and deer. In the best story I know, a black bear broke into an ice cream truck three nights running. My neighbors said he liked butterscotch topping most. It was their truck, their driveway, just 100 yards north of mine. But I never saw him dip his paw into peanut butter or caramel, bang open the freezer drawer, lurch dizzily outside across the cornfield toward Scotch Mountain. I've no bear story of my own, and so you, please, tell me yours. Peregrination. In my house, I respond to the student who asks, why can't I just say walk? We say we're going to perambulate the dog because the dog understands the word walk and barks himself into a frenzy if ever he hears walk. He even knows W-A-L-K. So we've brainstormed synonyms. For example, mosey, which clarifies his style now that he's seven and August heat discourages the hip-hop skitter and pounce he practiced his first fall, attacking each red leaf flitting across the sidewalk as if it were some invasive rodent. And walk insufficiently suggests his gait. He swings and swaggers. Freshly bathed, he sashays across our one-lane bridge, amusing drivers patient enough to watch his dainty strut as he sniffs clumps of fur stuck in tar, crushed soda cans, milkweed thrusting itself through gravel. He lunges up the dark, meandering, root-snarled path because after blizzards he's permitted to leap drift to drift, cooling his pink belly as I straggle and stumble, sweating through wool and down, pausing to identify tracks, deer, skunk, turkey, dog. Warm evenings, he backs his haunches into stinkweed, prowls soggy ditches, shambles through alfalfa and fresh-cut hay. Squirrels scuttle from ash to oak, safely beyond his curiosity or the interest of my student, who's trudging now in his mind up the impossibly steep steps of this assignment, schlepping instructions from table to carrel to desk, limping, staggering under their yoke, while I saunter home, oblivious, indifferent, because it's easy for me, he's certain, this jaunt, this stroll, this ramble. The word. Mercy is a woman I'd like to offer a cup of coffee. I'd like to see her hands fold around a brimming mug as she remembered skating across her uncle's pond, the ice thick, clouded, blue enough to suggest water rippled beneath her. I'd like to imagine Mercy content with memory, consoled by dusky light stippling her bare wrist. I could turn and whisper her name. Mercy, I could say, and she would lift her eyes, her gaze resting on my face as I felt my body rest, the word eased from my lips. Mercy, mercy.
These National Poetry Month readings are a Public Radio 90 production, recorded and produced in the facilities of WNMU-FM at Northern Michigan University. I'm producer and host Kurt Hosworth. Thanks for listening.